Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Hour of Truth. This is Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall and Brad Capshaw here on my right. And way out in left field on the Elberton Annex, we have James Usler. Well, gentlemen, where do we start? What's on our minds?
Sound spiritual advice and how not to tear up a carburetor on your lawnmower.
Yeah, I was hoping for something that I get, that I knew something
advice.
About.
Sound spiritual advice, not your run-of-the-mill, you know, at the 7-Eleven spiritual advice.
Let's hear it.
So that's your job. Well, I just started off in Galatians this morning, and you know, it's you hear a lot of the same thing over and over, and doggone it, there's a reason for that, because if you look in the Apostle Paul's ministry, he had the same error. It had to get under his skin, you know. People get it right, they're standing in the gospel of grace, they're trusting in the mercy of God and not trusting in their own righteousness, and then man, it was like clockwork. These Judaizers had come in, but I would venture to say, even if they hadn't, we're just so much bent that way as people. You know, we start trying to quit this, start that, look right, and all that stuff. That ain't where it's at. And really, you know, I was reading down. Well, my iPhone's a little low on charge, but I mean, really, if you start reading down through what he was saying, and in Galatians, he goes right back to a point of hope. It's, you know, it's not just that it's wrong. Why would you want to do this? You started in the Spirit. You had the miracles happen. You had the grace of God, the power of God evident. Why in the world would you choose to let that go? Not just he wasn't just spanking them. He's trying to bring them to a place that they could be happy.
Bring them back to the gospel. You're getting a little wayward there. Paul wrote him a letter to get back to the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why you hear it here over and over again. I've been here some period of years now, and it's a common theme, and it needs to be. It's a better place. James, you want to hop in on that?
Well, Phil, you're absolutely right. It really is the gospel. And the simplicity in the gospel, if we will just take it for what it says, like you were saying this morning, Paul. I mean, it's solely on the blood of Jesus. It's not any works. I mean, you hit it on the nail this morning. And it's
amen.
And I think you said something like, that's it. I mean, that's really all it is. If we can just take it for the simplicity that it is and walk in it.
And I was encouraged. I've been talking to a fellow that I know from work. And he said, you know, he's got some issues that are quite similar to the road that I've walked, thank God, many years past. But he said, well, I don't really have a hard time talking to you about it because I know you're not, I don't think he said judging me, but, you know, you're not judging me. You're not looking down on me. I need somebody I can open up to. Man, that's the guy I want to be. It's not like I get it so right. And nobody in this room or on the show here would be saying they get it so right. But I know who's going to make
up,
it right. Yeah, I want to be that signpost.
Crazy green.
Well, yeah, it's warm in here. Of course, I'm wearing wool socks and long underwear. Can you hear me now, Angie? Is that better? All right, I will do that. I will eat the mic. That mo better?
I've turned him up.
And all right,
he's gonna stick it in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, thanks for
you are louder call. Here, Brad.
Okay, I'll be mindful.
Ricky says you know better.
I usually do, and thank you for that.
The thing that Paul, the seriousness that Paul took this gospel, is evidenced by the fact that he said, if anybody comes to you preaching another gospel, let them be accursed, Maranatha, at the coming of the Lord.
Heavy statement.
If me or some angel or any other being tells you anything else other than what I've told you, let them be accursed, Maranatha. And that's serious business.
Let him be anathema.
Cast out.
Cut off.
That's right.
Which is excommunicated in the modern lingo. Let him be excommunicated. And it's just so common.
So I think, that what that means is, and of course my response to that is, I wouldn't ever pay him any attention anyway. We need to pay him attention and cast him out. We don't want those people anywhere infecting our churches, and we don't want our people in our churches doing any of that infecting either.
Yeah, you talk about casting it out. It might not be casting a person out, but getting with them and saying, this is an idea, a thought that's coming out.
That's right.
Let's cast this idea out.
Put it away.
Let's get you back straight. Come on, man.
I mean, well, that was the... essentially the letters to the Galatians there was casting that stuff out is what he was doing for their sake, not casting them out. No,
right.
Casting
the idea,
that perverted doctrine out.
That's right.
I can't get to it quick enough. But he said in Galatians, he says, I marvel you're so soon removed from the gospel that was preached to you. I mean, he was very blunt to the point. And at the same time, he was always saying, why would you do this? It's always a point of hope. It is something that could be corrected. It's an extremely common error and not a reason to, bury yourself in sackcloth and ashes. Just go back into the gospel of grace. And put it aside like any other sin, and press forward.
And that's that. Why I marvel that you're so soon removed. I look at myself and being removed. I take that as for me personally.
Kind of scary.
I was talking a little bit about tribulation, and being surprised, I'm not saying that from a personal level. We'll go to the conference or we'll see something. The Lord has just done a mighty work, a mighty move, or whatever the case. And a situation comes up and we're like, I know that's different in the sense because he's talking about going back to the law. But I just look in myself and so soon removed. Falling into unbelief so soon removed.
And works is a form of unbelief, isn't it? I mean, I'm saying, I believe you died. I believe you're the Lord and all that. But I think maybe I need to add a little something to this. It's a lack of faith. I pulled this up.
Even just in the sense of, he tells us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And... buying into the unbelief that, the carnal mind feeds you or whatever. I'm being so soon removed from the gospel by a situation or a circumstance or whatever the case may be. I was kind of thinking of which seen her preached of, and I know it started with David. He goes, how you doing? Somebody asks, hey, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing underneath there? And, you know, being removed from the gospel because of a circumstance or something around you. And, you know, we have that scripture of where, and I don't want to take the scripture out of context, where he goes, you know, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know he's talking about himself and the called, or you can say chosen. But it is something that it's all available for us to partake of. And none of those things should remove us or separate us from the love of Christ. And I know that, and you know, that's why I kind of revert to Romans in that sense, because it did. That's what struck and reminding it, me in that about, you know, I marvel you're so soon removed, and I kind of, you know, took me to Romans. I thought of Romans in that sense, because, you know, I could sit there and say, well, I'm not trying to keep the law, I'm not trying to do all these, but man, I get so soon removed, and with other things all the time.
Frustration, you know, in Romans, was it 6, 7, and 8, that sandwich of chapters? He said, well, I want to do right, and then I find I can't do right, and I don't want to do wrong, but then I find myself doing wrong. You know, he finally says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, you see this raging frustration. I can't do it.
And to sum that up, it's like the flesh is going to be the flesh. And we're not bound to it, because, you know, he starts with 7, for, you know, or in 6, if we be dead, then
it's cursed, and it's never going to get any better. It can't.
Exactly. It's a cursed thing, but we're set free from it.
That's the good news. That's the whole point.
Now there, therefore, is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because he comes and wraps that, the flesh is going to be the flesh. And I forget exactly what verse, I want to pull it up. But it's simply, the flesh is going to be the flesh. It's not going to change its mind. You can't dress that thing up to be anything. But he says
it's in Romans 8.
We're dead to it. And he set us free from it. I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
I think it's in Romans 8.
Oh, it's Romans 7 is where it's at. I was just
curious. Well, the part about it, the flesh being at enmity with God.
That's 8.
That's what I was looking.
But the verse wraps.
Yeah, the 7. 7 is notorious for what the battle Paul was going through.
Well, to accept that is tough, because if you cast aside your own works and you're relying solely on the grace of Christ, the sacrifice he made, I mean, that righteousness is given to us in order to walk in that. Look, I guess what I'm saying, Paul expressed the frustration with his inability to do right in Romans.
But then he tells you, you know, it's like, praise God. That was the whole point. You can't do it.
Exactly. Which comes down to the gospel. He did.
He did.
He fulfilled. He completed. Nothing else. That fulfilled it.
That's where the unbelief kicks you in the tushy. Because to cast ourselves solely on the sacrifice of Christ and his grace, if you really take a hard look at yourself and understand how deficient you are, to cast ourselves solely on Christ.
I sat there and I read that the first time, and I was like, that's right! I can't! I'm with you here, buddy.
Absolutely. Well, in 7:20, and you know where I was kind of going a little back there, is where it says in 7:20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look, the flesh is going to be the flesh, man. That thing is an old, corrupt thing. It's cursed. You know, you go down in 8 where Paul, you were talking about, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 20, I love it. I'm just going to read down. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me
from the body of this death. They thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Flesh is the flesh, and we're free from it. You read in the beginning of 7, you're not married to that old man anymore, man. He set you free from it. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a part, it's where we partake of his life, his love, his, I mean, we partake of everything that he accomplished and won and was victory over on the cross and was resurrected in power. I mean, he freedom to give it to us, and we can have it. We can have it.
And it freed us from a life of chronic defeat. Because if you...
Absolutely. Chronic defeat. Yeah.
I was, you know, Baptist, Pentecostal, Holiness, all that stuff for so long. And, you know, you can't get it right. You're expected to get it right. You're told that there's no reason not to and all that. And, man, after a while, just my boots were strapless, man. I just couldn't pull my boots up any more higher. You know, and this thing here... Right, with your mind, you serve the law of Christ. Your spirit's redeemed, and your desires are being aligned to the desires of the Holy Spirit. Right, he said he would work in us to will and to do. He's working in us to have a different will. And so, yeah, it may not always go right. It may not always look right, but we can be confident that he's bringing us to a better place. And when you stumble and fall, well, then you got James. Now you can count it all joy. You take it to the throne, get it washed off, dust yourself off, maybe call Paul on the way to work.
He dusts you off. Man, yeah, he dusts you off. I mean, he's the one that did the washing. He's the one that does he's the one that gives you the new man, and it's nothing on our part.
To receive.
But to our agree, part is to really. Receive. To receive is just to agree. Just agree with him.
And if the water gets too rocky, hey, I shoot you a text, call Paul. I have places I can go. James, you want to chime in on any of that?
No.
Oh, well, that was short.
Yeah, you can't be pulling up the Super Bowl stuff during a radio show.
Why not?
This is the awards dinner.
It's a distraction.
Awards breakfast that Thomas Davis from Carolina is getting awarded the NFL Man of the Year or some such award as that. It's the
for what?
Bright Star Award for service, community service, and he's one of those players. What was the quarterback came from Florida who's Tim Tebow? Was that his name?
Sounds right.
The press was always jumping all over him for his demonstrations of faith. You know, he'd kneel down and pray in the sidelines and all that kind of stuff. Thomas Davis is the only remaining player from Carolina's last Super Bowl appearance.
Ah.
And he was number first round draft pick of 2001 or something like that. But his work ethic and his leadership on the field and his dedication and love of football is so strong that he's come back from whatever it was in the knee.
ACL.
That's what it was. Triple ACL surgery in the same knee.
That's brutal.
He's one of these Christian players whose witness and testimony is how he does. It's not what he says he does. It's what he does. And it's not these outward demonstrations of that keep people in conflict. It's just, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm loving the new guys, trying to get them, into the system, and he takes care of them, and he ministers to them, and he just has been for 15 years quietly doing his best, quietly teaching the new players that come along into the system to do their best. And he's the biggest asset that the Carolina Panthers have. He's still known to be the toughest hitter. He leads the team in tackles. He never gives up. He never quits.
But he's be the one that also, I mean, if he was injured for a year, would still give a lot to the team.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hold back what the team can draw off from him.
No. And, yeah, I did pull that up on the browser so that when we're done here, I can watch it because it will spool it up on the browser for a little bit.
You did invite my boy over to watch Super Bowl with you?
I said he could.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I said he could, too, and then I went, I know I really wanted to do that. I hope that's the way that conversation went down. Sounds good.
And really... That's really what the Lord calls us to do. There was a point to all that.
Well,
and he's been successfully doing it. He has the respect and the admiration of not just his teammates, but the whole league. Everybody. You've either been hit by him, tackled by him, you know, told, you know, ministered to, taught by him. He's really one of the good guys.
Yeah, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a guy I work with, and he brings his faith to work, and it's somewhat like what you say. He's quite good at what he does. And he's cooperative, he's kind, he's pleasant. And I told my boss, if you're going to bring your faith to work, it shouldn't make you a pain in the tushy to work with. You should be better to work with.
We've been made aware of the phrase that, was it St. Francis, was it? Somebody?
I think.
You know, it might have been a preach the gospel always and sometimes use words. I don't know how much words he's used, but how he acts and how he treats other people testifies and gets the respect and the admiration, you know, of everybody else. And he's, you know, not trying to get their admiration. He's trying to please the Lord. But for him, it comes. And like, you know, Philip was saying, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord.
Right.
He found that thing. He found the thing he could do heartily unto the Lord. And, you know, the older we get, the more stuff we should be able to find that we can do heartily as unto the Lord. And
should be everything in our life.
That's right. It should be. And I was trying to get to that, but it should be that. You're right.
I apologize then, Paul.
No. You did all right. You don't have to apologize. It is one of those... There's plenty enough stuff that goes on in... football and pop culture and that kind of thing, it is not something you want emulated, with something really? You don't want your children to learn. But if they were fans of Thomas Davis, they would be doing well. And I used to hate the guy because when he was playing at Georgia, he was kind of abusive to the Clemson running backs. But, you know.
Oh.
Huh?
I said, oh.
Yes. When he became, you know, Carolina player, I had to change my mind. So.
There, and, you see how you are?
Yeah. I didn't really mean to take us off on that side trip, but
I think it's very appropriate. You should take your faith to everything you do. I mean, not just to work, but like you're saying,
yeah.
You should be the best dad you can be, or the best whatever you are. Somebody just dove in there with a big old chat.
Somebody's rewriting 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Would that gold, silver, and precious stones be like building on that foundation with love, faith, and hope, and the wood, hay, and stubble is building on that foundation our own works. Yeah, works wrought in Christ are precious stones and gold that will withstand the fire, and our own works, that's the wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned off. It also goes down in this passage to say the man himself shall be saved. So you can be standing on the perfect foundation, which is Christ, and still do things or fail to do things that would impact your reward when you get there. But the man himself is saved. Yeah, if that be the case, what does it mean in verse 15? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. All right, the man himself is saved, so he's going to walk into glory, but his works, because they weren't wrought in the Spirit, would not follow him. There's a level of reward when you get there, which is based on what you do here.
You know, what comes to mind in that whole thing is what Jesus says, and you can do nothing but by me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not Jesus' love, it's not Jesus' Spirit, it's not Jesus's, you know, if it's not from Jesus, it's just worth nothing. And you know, essentially, Paul, you're talking about that this morning. You were talking about anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I mean, anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel. I mean, that's where it stops. And anything that's not wrought from the gospel, from him, it's really just, it matters nothing. So it might be those things that, you know, you come across that you, you know, and I'm looking at that as, you know, I mean, the Lord's good. I mean, did you do things that are not of him? Well, sometimes you just see the fruit of that being the case, and you see that that wasn't of him. That has nothing to do with him. That has everything to do with me. And it's something you can get shed of.
And it's something even those errors he can use.
Oh, absolutely, because he's a redeemer. Because he's a redeemer. And that learning process of knowing him in the midst. I mean, I just kind of look. That was just an interesting verse. I mean, that's how I'm seeing it. Could be very much wrong on the case, but anything outside, I mean, of Jesus and what he'd have you do, say, speak is really...
Well, that's what you're shooting
nothing.
For.
I think Thursday night, Paul, you were talking about... I mean, you can ask me my opinion, but my opinion matters nothing. You're talking about speaking the words of oracles of God. And it really is. And, you know, you look at you building yourself upon anything other than Jesus Christ. It's really nothing. It's going to be burned up. It's not going to be last. It's not.
But
that's
it,
right.
No, go ahead.
Very seldom do you get asked your opinion by God. God, that's not generally the course of conversation. Of course, conversation is usually something more along the order of, "Hey, Adam, where are you?"
Who told you you were naked?
What are you doing? How did you know you were naked?
Yeah, that. And he may call you on the carpet. At the same time, he, like with Adam, he went and took care of it. covered him with animal skin, offered a sacrifice, got him back to a point where there could be fellowship. Not the same, but he goes, he's a redeemer. That's what Phil's saying. He's a redeemer. Yeah. Well, think about that at work.
About singing that song, Cast All I Care Upon You. And he is a redeemer. And see, that's where the Lord can take just, you give those things to him, he can take anything to glorify the gospel. I mean, he can take anything. And that's how precious, how good he is. I mean, you choose the Lord, you give it to him, it's just yes and amen. He's an awesome God. You know, we were talking about tribulations a little bit and about, you know, you becoming a target for the enemy. You switch sides. You know, you get tribulation. You get tribulation when you're... Don't switch sides. But anyways, but you get tribulation. But see, the Lord always... What the enemy throws at people, he can take. And it's so cool about Jesus. He takes and flips it upside down on Satan's head. And I'm talking about the work that target that the enemy is using to destroy you. What does he come to? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he can take that and flip it upside down on Satan's head, where Jesus reigns victorious once again. Even, and most of it is our own stupid mistakes. And it's a beautiful thing. And that, you know, once again, the gospel's manifested. It's a beautiful thing.
Paul talked about the need for patience, you know, even after you've done the will of God. I was in Psalm 22 this morning, which we know what Psalm 23 is. 22 is it speaks of the crucifixion, and it goes into the just shattering despair that Christ felt during this time. And I was thinking about that, Phil. You're talking about, you know, doing the will of God, and He does come through. He comes through in his time, and we can be doing the right thing and be walking in faith and go through some bad stuff. It doesn't mean the Lord's not with us or taking care of us or bringing us through it. It may just be something that has to happen. I mean, you look at Psalm 22, it was just gut-wrenching. Like, why have you forsaken me? Hey, you know, all my bones are out of joint. And we know the things he went through. That's an extreme example. But as you're going through the valleys in this life, it's important to remember that he's got it. You know, he's got it taken care of, but you may have to wait a little while to see that thing work itself out.
He's well able. That's
well able in doing it, even in that moment.
And those are the things that increase your faith. Because you see the Lord move in it, as long as you trust him through it and believe that he will.
Yeah, tribulation works patience.
That's really the starting point of what we were talking about before the show. It was these three guys were talking about tribulations and the things that people go through in their lives that make them who they are. These are things that if they don't go through, they're diminished. They're not pleasant. But when we take the consequences of our actions and our behavior away from kids too, and then try to keep them away from circumstances that are the developmental stuff, the tribulations and stuff that you learn how to make it through to the other side, and you learn to trust the Lord through it. The irony is some of the best insights in that conversation were coming from the atheist. There was an atheist, a rabbi, and a talk show host. And the atheist was making all the insights. But he really came down to that truth. And I'm sitting there thinking, most Christians don't get that.
Cause, effect.
Of course, he wasn't young. I mean, he's probably within 5 years of my age, plus or minus.
Either way, he's not young. Chop, 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 chop.
You're within 5 years, plus or minus, of my age.
I'm not young either. It just looks better on me, that's all.
Yeah, you go ahead chop, and believe chop, that. Chop, chop, chop.
I'm reading this book on management called Monday Morning Leadership by a guy named David Cottrell. And he's got a mentor in the book named Tony. He's one of these, I don't know, CEO advisor for decade guys. But he, Tony was telling him, it's about cause effect. You, in order to bring people up, you make sure they understand what's needed. But what you also have to do is, if somebody steps outside the lines, you have to be willing to administer whatever correction the policies require. So this kind of thing here, like you're talking about cause-effect, if you continually keep a kid from feeling the results of their actions, they're not going to learn too well. I heard something interesting, I think it was on radio, about, you know, how little kids fall over all the time, like toddlers on the way to learning to walk. You know, we hate it. It's a hard thing to watch because they get so bruised and messed up, but that pain is absolutely essential. That is part of the learning process, even though it's a brutal thing to watch go on. It's not always what you want to do to come in and rescue somebody. Not that you said we should.
That's right. There's all kinds of examples of that, you know, you swooping in and coming to the rescue is actually detrimental.
Yeah, it can be.
To the person. Not just in that situation, but, you know, in money or you know, any other kind of consequence that, you know, the Lord may be trying to drive something home for people to learn. And if you take and remove them from that consequence, they don't ever learn. And you're lucky if they remember.
Yeah, you don't buy the prodigal a Big Mac on his way to the pig trough. You'd be standing in the way of the Lord.
Yeah. It can be. You need to, when you intervene in somebody's life like that, you need to be prayerful that you're doing what the Lord would have you do. And not just be doing it.
Because you're a nice guy.
For their approval.
Which is an easy thing to do. I mean, yeah. In a work environment, you know. You're shooting for the short-term success of hitting your production targets or whatever, and it's easy to let something slide, let somebody get over on you, and I'll know it. The harder thing is to look long-term down the road, but the Lord is doing that with us. He's got the long-term plan. And if you allow him to, I mean, if you're following him, he's going to bring the right things into your life so that you're able to experience even distress if you need to as a learning experience. And he's got all that under control.
Yeah. What I think about is the prodigal son. I mean, if he was bailed out, could have, probably would have never returned back home to his father. And, you know, it's, you know, if you were some guy or hindering him from going back home, and if he wasn't eating the swine's food and the swine's feed to fill his belly, and, you know, if he was eating, you know, if he was, you know, eating better,
yeah,
I mean,
good.
You might hinder him going back to coming back to his father's house, which is the place he needed to be, or the best place for him.
And that didn't hit him immediately. It said he, at some point, he came to himself. He, you know, it began to dawn on him, and he had to go through that harsh time.
Went through humility. And you look at his humility. He came back, man, make me not one of thy sons. I'm not worthy to be one of thy sons. Just make me thy servant. And the father accepted him fully and totally as his son again. And, you know, that's what the Lord does with us so many times. And that's a good one. I mean, that's so many times.
And we have to be in the mindset to accept people back as the Lord does and not hold things against them. Like his brother, you know, his brother held it against him and was mad at his father.
Yeah. I'm glad
we too are saved by grace just like that person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's where you can come to the Father with anything, any struggle, whatever the case may be. And we got a marvelous Savior.
Phil, you and I both know that. We've both left the ministry and come back. And you weren't put down or looked down upon by anybody. You were received with open arms, as was I.
And me.
And Brett.
Something else you can say.
I don't know. Paul's over there trying to get something out, too.
I was just going to tell James it was a good thing he finally said something, because I had forgotten that I was going to try to go back to him because I heard him back there. But I forget things really easily now. Or else
no,
I just notice it now. I don't know which it is.
it was CRS. When we were talking, or y'all were talking about getting in the way of the Lord. And it's, you know, a lot of times those very instances or situations people are in, because the Lord knows people's hearts. And he knows what it takes to bring them to a place to make that decision of whether they're going to choose to serve him or stay in the misery that they're in. And that's where it's important through discernment to know when to step in or not get in the way of the Lord.
Absolutely.
That was it.
You said it a lot better than I did, but that was what I was, that was the point I was trying to make. So thanks for tying me in with that.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into a kind of a nice guy thing, but believers aren't called to be nice guys. We're not. I look at some of the believers around me that I look up to, and I wouldn't say they're, you know, nice people.
It depends on your definition of nice, because standing in the way of the Lord may look nice to that person, but it truly isn't.
Yeah, it goes back to being able to judge righteous judgment. That's really what you're looking for, is to do the righteous, upright thing. And that, as far as the social norms go, that may look a little harsh.
Well, agape love is the... Agape love is... So you prefer somebody above yourself. You prefer to what is best for them, whether they might not like it or not. They might absolutely like it. I mean, it just depends where they're at, really. And it's one that, we got, you know, Corinthians 13 on agape love and on charity. And it's one of, you know, Paul, you're talking about, you know, the kids, you're taking away the consequence of the kids. That's not agape love. That's philios love, because you don't want them to feel bad. You don't want them to feel such and such. But sometimes feeling bad brings you the repentance to the Lord. That prodigal son, he was there. He was feeding. He was eating the pig's food. I mean, it was not a fun road. But he came to a humility to choose to go back to his father. And he made that choice.
If you try to take those consequences away, then you're being, first off, you're being selfish. And second off, you're standing in the way of the Lord. And neither one of those things are good. If the selfish is doing you what you're doing to be seen as a nice guy, seen as something, see somebody that's concerned about, that's, you know, that's filio stuff there. That's not agape stuff. The agape stuff is, agape love is being willing to take the chance that they may never talk to you again.
For their benefit.
They may never, they may have nothing else ever to do with you, and you do it anyway, because they need it. Because you love them with agape.
And I mean, an agape love can also, agape could love to be, and who condemns you? Is there any man that condemns you here? Yeah. No, no one, Lord, neither do I. Okay, I mean, it could be whatever.
It works as, it's a natural needed companion to the grace and mercy of the Lord. Absolutely. It's the love of the Lord and the grace and the mercy of the Lord.
I mean, it's still all agape. It's still one thing. It's still, absolutely. But it situation calls for a different how it applies. The rich young ruler had been applied to, you know, if you're perfect, go and come follow me, you know, and it just.
And the prodigal son there that we're talking about, this is his father opening back, opening, killing the fatted calf, opening up his arms and taking him back, no conditions.
And, you know, the brother there might not have accepted him. Right. But the father did. And see, that's the only thing that matters.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I can't look down on the older brother for it. I would have been upset.
What's that?
I can't look down on the older brother. I would have been upset.
Right, but it's of no effect. Because we're all accepted by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, you're saying
you know, it's just no effect.
The prodigal was accepted by the father. That's what he needed. He didn't really need the acceptance of the brother. I got that. I was just thinking, I don't know, if I've been in the older brother's shoes.
He did for his own benefit.
Right. But it would for his own brother's benefit to accept him back. And, I mean,
maybe he did. It's
and
not
and
really.
Then what all that does is flare up an issue inside the brother. And so that flares up an issue inside the brother. Well, that's just something that the brother can now know the father even more and understand his way and get shed of something that would hold him back. So, true. I mean, none of those things, those are all good things that can come. There's opportunity for good things that can come out of all those, that whole thing.
Can't be narrowly focused. Can't be, you know, about you. It can't be about you. It can't be right. About selfish.
It's amazing how God's love works and how the Lord works in that, because it just, it's a.
It has a multiplier effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just looking at this little blurb on Thomas Davis that you were talking about, Paul. Outstanding character, integrity, and leadership.
Yeah.
That should be the hallmark.
And quiet. You know,
What do you mean quiet?
I doubt if his is a commonly known name as a player.
No.
But the people he works with, they know him. They know him.
A good public.
Yeah. And that's...
But it's a neat thing, God's grace. And because once you turn, I mean, none of those things are held against you. I mean, when you turn, none of those things are held against you. And that's a beautiful thing. Others might hold it against you.
Might hold it against yourself.
Might hold it against yourself, but he doesn't. And see, that's where receiving and accepting is. is not holding against yourself. I mean, that's not, don't let that's, you're not fully grabbing a hold of that gospel.
Don't let the accuser hold it against you.
Right. You know, be free and go forward. Be free and go forward. It's a neat thing. I mean, there's things that happen at work sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I hold people accountable and I'll send them home. They don't give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You know, throughout the day, I'll send them home, write them up. It's amazing the turnaround it is. And, you know, it come Monday and not maybe other people still might hold judgments of the guy or whatever the case may be. But it comes Monday, the guy's turned around. It's over.
And he's all right with you.
Huh?
He's not upset with you.
Yeah, no. Maybe. Right, yeah. No, I mean, it's when the turnaround comes and that turnaround comes, it's done. I mean, it's we're moving forward and you're going in back in the right direction, man. It's good job. Praise God. That's all I care about. Let's go forward.
We got,
you know, that's the Lord. I mean, that's the Lord. I mean, it's, it turns around, but far better than me. I mean, don't want to use myself as an example there, but it's just over, man. It's,
and that's the grace of God working through you in a work. And work is work, but that's the Lord working through you. They got this thing where I work, if a guy messes up, they call it performance improvement process. And
so politically correct.
Yeah. Well, it's corporate, but the intent's really good. And let's say a guy has something happens, quality spills, or something major, something went wrong, and his review will reflect it. Well, you don't want to walk around with a bad review. And so it's a 90-day cycle, and we'll set targets, goals over 90 days. At the end of that, if he meets it, I can go back in and write an off-cycle review and step on the bad one. So you can be way bad off, but if you show me a good solid 3 months, it washes it away. That's pretty cool. So you don't have to carry around this weight. You know, you can see where it relates into the gospel, I'm sure.
We're going to wrap it up for this week. I thank you for joining us. I hope that the Lord blesses you mightily and you have a great week.
Amen to that. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.